To Matthew chapter 14.
And want to look, read beginning verse 23 of Matthew 14. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Well, of course, there's a very famous passage of Scripture people talk about all the time. But there's great spiritual truths here. And we could simply call this victory in faith in troublous times. Victory in faith in troublous times. You know, here was a great storm on the sea. And the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountain ranges, and so it has a particular situation that produces strong storms. And so here is this great storm taking place, and of course the disciples are very troubled by this storm that is taking place. In fact, some of you heard about the BCM group that Mike is on. Pastor Sawyer went out into the Gulf of Mexico with him on his boat, and the linkage to the motor broke. And so they're out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, and the linkage is broken. And they had to somehow put it back together, and they could only go at one speed. And a great storm was coming up, and got kind of scary. And well, that's probably pretty scary for a landman, you know, for a farmer in Wisconsin. But even though the disciples were used to being on the Sea of Galilee, they knew it was a very dangerous lake. And there was a great storm. Well, obviously, the Lord has these things in the Bible for a reason. And there's great encouragement, great lessons here. But, of course, the Lord came and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, let me come out there and walk. And the Lord said, sure, come on out. And Peter starts walking on the water. And of course, we know that he takes his eyes off the Lord and he looks at the trouble. He looks at the sea. He looks at what's really happening. He looks at the real circumstances of life, and he begins to sink. And of course, we are reminded tonight that in life, we need to have the right object of our faith. We need to have the right object of our faith. You know, as long as Peter had his eyes on the Lord, there wasn't a problem. As long as he had his faith in the Lord, he's able to walk on the water. It wasn't a problem. And, you know, that's just, I mean, that's, you know, first grade Sunday school lesson, right? He had his eyes on the Lord, and he was able to walk on the water. And yet it's a picture of life. You know, in life, we can have the victory or we can be defeated by our circumstances. And you know, as we go to prayer tonight, and we always like to have some kind of message that encourages people in their faith and encourages them in prayer. You know, in life, we can look at the obstacles, we can look at the trials, we can look at everything that is contrary to what, you know, the Lord would want to accomplish in our life, what he would want to do. And in those troublous times, there is a way of victory. And that's putting our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think there's the great battle of life, really, is that the devil really wants people to put their eyes on anything but the Lord. You know, the real battle today is for men, the souls of men. And, you know, men need to be spiritual leaders. Men need to be men of prayer. The church should be led by men who have power in prayer. The church should be led by men who have faith. The Bible says to lift up holy hands without doubt and without wrath. And the Bible says that's a very key issue. But I really believe that one of the big issues today is that men are beat up by the world and they let the world beat them up. And when they come to church, they're not standing on the water, they're sinking. And they're just doing everything they can to stay above water. They're doing everything they can just to breathe. They're doing everything they can to stay alive. And you know, when you go to prayer like that, you don't have much power, do you? When you go to prayer like that, you can't pray big prayers, you know, because you're just trying to stay alive. There's no victory. And, you know, the devil has lust everywhere. The devil has every sort of thing out there to grab the hearts of men. And whatever it is, the world, money, materialism, just the immodesty of our culture. You know, it's all about defeating men so they can't be men of prayer and they can't be men of faith. And men who are defeated cannot lead a church. Men who are defeated cannot lead their family. Men who are defeated cannot get something accomplished with God. The miracles don't come when men are defeated. Now, here gives a great, you know, a great picture here of how to have victory. And the victory is to take our eyes off of the waves and the trouble and the sea and get our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and his, and who he is and what he can do. And, you know, no matter what it is, the devil wants you to take your eyes off of Jesus, get them on this world and on the impossibilities and the troubles and why it can't happen and all of that. That's what he wants. And there's a need. There's a need to have Jesus Christ as the object of our faith. And, you know, it just seemed like it was nothing. There's nothing for Peter to walk out on that water. I mean, it was just like it wasn't even a problem. You know? He said, come, and he went. Why? Because his object of faith was the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he was distracted. He took his eyes off the Lord, and his eyes got on the sea. And the minute that happens in anybody's life, guess what comes? Defeat. Defeat. Failure. And that's the distraction of life, isn't it? It's everywhere. You know, it's there. He didn't have to look too far to find it, did he? There wasn't, he had plenty of good excuses. Yeah, it was, it was good. Nobody had, he had never seen anybody walk on water before, and he hadn't himself ever walked on water. And the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, he was distracted. And distraction is a real problem. And distraction is obviously a result of a lack of faith. Notice what the Lord said. He said, O thou of little faith. O thou of little faith. You know, we think, boy, I'd have to have some pretty big faith to walk on water. But no, he said you had little faith. It only took a little faith. That's all it took. So there is a distraction. And so what is it? What are you looking at? Are you looking at Jesus Christ? Or are you looking at all the reasons you can't? You're looking at all the reasons you can't go forward, all the reasons you can't have victory, all the reasons why it's difficult, all the reasons why you should fail, why you can't do it. Well, that's a simple reality in life. And you might be there right now. You might be there every day right now. Or you might be tempted to get off the track of faith and to look at all the distractions. You know, the distractions usually are something that's hard, you know, something that's impossible, something that's difficult. You know, I think one of the words that should be banned, you know, in Christian school is the word I can't. I think that's one of the words that should be banned in a Christian school. I can't do that. That's too hard. You know, well, that's just a lack of faith. That's a lack of letting Christ take over your life. Say, I can't have victory. Well, no, you can have victory. It's just a token of unbelief. But he begins to sink, and he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. The mercy of the Lord. Aren't you glad didn't say, go ahead, sink. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he said, oh, just keep sinking. You know, learn a lesson. Last one you'll ever learn. Aren't you glad? He reached out his hand. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? You know, this is so simple, but the fact is we forget this lesson thousands of times in our lives, hundreds of times, scores of times. We know it's so simple, and yet maybe from day to day, you know, one day we're trusting the Lord, and the next day we're down in the dumps, you know. One week we're trusting the Lord for something great, and the next week we're saying, never can happen, forget it. And then, you know, as we sink, we cry out to the Lord, and He saves us. He rescues us. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord to teach us to keep our eyes on Him and to make sure that He is the object of our faith. And that's what I think it's important for us to think of. You know, it's Him. Yeah, prayer is the means to cry out to Him and call upon Him. But prayer isn't the object of our faith. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. Prayer is just the means of expressing our faith. But our object of our faith is Jesus Christ. And you know, that's one of the reasons you have devotions every day. That's one of the reasons you should read your Bible every day. You know, is to put your eyes upon Jesus, because we can easily take them off. And that's the reason that we need to take lessons like these, and we need to put reminders in our life about these lessons, because we easily forget these lessons. You know, isn't it an amazing thing when you think about it? Sometimes a truth like this, you could probably have this lesson once a month, you know, and it wouldn't be unneeded. But I don't think that would be acceptable for the preacher to preach the same message, you know, once a month. Now, but we may need it. But that's why we are to, you know, make notes in our Bible. That's why we make decisions about what we hear. And, you know, if you don't make a decision about something, you're just satisfied to have your intellect tickled. You're just satisfied to be encouraged. But it's not going to last. That's why when there's a truth that's taught, we shouldn't be sitting there in the pew and do nothing about it. We need to consciously make a decision about the truth if we need to apply it to our life. We have failed. We need to consciously make a decision about that, apply it to our life so that we can drive it and anchor it in our soul so we can go forward. And so the Bible says, don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself that you're doing fine by hearing the word. No. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So maybe on this great truth tonight, the Lord is speaking to you about the object of your faith, or how you have been defeated by the distractions of this world and have become a person of doubt. I think of Ephesians 6, and taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. How important it is for faith. Faith is an important defensive weapon. Faith is an important offensive weapon. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever you ask faith, believing, ye shall receive. And so faith is such a vital part of our spiritual life and victory. And may that be encouragement to us tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the first step of faith you ought to make is that step where you trust Him with your sin and with your soul and your life, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior and trust Him 100%. And that's where it starts, faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would use the word of God tonight, this simple truth, for your glory. And Lord, help us not just to have our ears encouraged tonight. Help us to make decisions about who we are looking at. And if we have been distracted, and while our heads are bowed and eyes closed, Lord, I pray that you would work in our midst. While at this moment, the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, and you need to consciously make that decision that you've taken your eyes off of the Lord, and you've put it on the distractions. And you have been walking in unbelief and in failure because of it. And the Lord has spoken to your heart about that simple truth. that you need to put your eyes on Jesus Christ and trust him and forget the impossibilities and forget the fact that you can't do it. But whatever it is that you need to trust God for, you need to have your eyes upon Jesus Christ. And God has spoken to your heart tonight, and by the grace of God, you want to make a decision about that. And by just an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, pray with me. I have made that a decision, conscious decision tonight about putting my faith purposely in Jesus Christ and taking my eyes off all the bad circumstances. Okay? All right? Praise the Lord. Number of different hands. Okay? Amen. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. And we thank you that, God, there is nothing too hard for you. And thank you that, Lord, the Lord of hosts, that's who you are. Might we trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.